the name of God, Abba, Ima, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Ascension Day. Hear this portion of the Ephesians text for today. Having heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus and your love for all God's holy people, I pray this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that we are called to, that you may see how rich is the glory of the inheritance we have received, that you may know how extraordinarily great is the power that God is exercising for us. It accords with all of God's strength in Christ, the one who was raised from the dead, that he might be present over every principality, ruling force, power of this world, everything that can be named and everything unnamed. God has put everything under his love. Bulletin cover. Every week this matters. See it? Ascension. Particle and wave. We got something to learn from our scientific brothers and sisters. This is a good thing. Protons and electrons. Particle and wave, right? Everybody knows that now. Even the scientists don't know what that means. Am I right? Oh, well, it's a particle and it's a wave at the same time. And what does that mean? Or we see it in action, but we don't know what it means. That's why I think it's a perfect description of who Jesus the Christ is. He is both absolutely particle. A human being 2,000 years ago, one embodiment of profound wisdom, confounding, baffling, intriguing, having an impact for ages to come. And the Christ is the cosmic Christ. As we sang, and morning has broken, before the beginning of creation, when God said, let there be light, that came through the means we believe, through the Christ and his love, through which the whole universe is here. Everything in existence is of Christ. Everything. We don't often teach that, I know. But this is the wave of which we are a part. Jesus was not an add-on in history. God thought, oh gosh, this is not going well. I think I'll toss Jesus in the hopper. No. From the beginning, we just sang it. And that's the wave of mercy of which now we are a part. Particle, historical, the wave of mercy. And when there's no wave of mercy, there's nothing. It's up to us. Well, now look inside your bulletin cover. Yes, the next image. You can take this home and meditate on it for 37 years. Yeah, you think I'm joking. This is a painting by Richard Kemmerer. Who is this Jesus who came among us? As Kemmerer paints and acknowledges with the title, Jesus the Eccentric. Why do we ever think Jesus is normal? Where did that come from? He and Buddha would have a lot of tears and laughter to share about their followers. They think we're normal. They think they understand us. They think they've got the wisdom all put down, huh? You elect a pope, it's all going to flow just right. Whew! The eccentric is the one who is always outside the circle. That's what it means. Eccentric, outside the circle. The inner circle. The power circles. Or as it says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is born outside the walls. Really big deal. If you look in the painting in the background, You see this? That's the temple in Jerusalem. He's always an outsider. There's nothing normal about him. He was cut off from privilege, cut off from the inside, cut off from his own people. And we too are cut off these days, aren't we? Like never before in our lifetimes, we are cut off from our own humanity. And certainly being cut off from the humanity of others. The ones who are getting picked up and disappeared, you know, they really don't matter. She may be the youngest person. They don't matter, May, right? That's why we established the American Society to prove that there are some people who don't matter, and we get rid of them now. We are cut off. We come to the Eucharist to remember who we are. And we eat this meal, eat the bread, drink the wine. Jesus says, remember me. Remember me, which is to remember ourselves, because we keep forgetting and we keep getting cut off. Remember to become real. Remember to become genuine. Remember to make something of your lives, because this is not a rehearsal. This is life. This is happening. Plenty of people want to play games with us. This is your life. Communion is an act of contemplation. It comes from the Latin word contemplum, to be with a temple. When you stand out under the starry night sky, that is contemplation. We've all had that experience. Yes, you stand out there, and no matter how badly things are going, you look at that starry sky and you say, mystery! I'm part of this. And that's why contemplation is so essential in spiritual life. It gives us that true regard for who we are and who others are. Public worship is a subversive activity these days. You show up here, you are daring to say what's going on is not right, and I will not be a part of it. This is contemplation. The meal is contemplation. We are contemplating who we are, whose we are, and what we are to be about. Because everything else is trashing us. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. Hey, we still have commercials on TV. It's going to be fine. Anybody been to Hawaii lately? I like Hawaii. I'm not putting down Hawaii. It's not going to save us. The world is here, and our contemporary world in particular wants to distract us from everything that matters. Nothing you can do about it, Mariah. Give up. Next. It's that raw, isn't it? It's that bold. It wants to disguise. It wants us to discard. It wants us to give up. Like one theologian said, that people of faith and all faiths People of faith are like bloodhounds sticking to the trail. For Christians, that means becoming like bloodhounds sticking to the trail of the blood of Christ. That Christ who is eccentric, who is forever the outsider, who reveals who we are, whose compassion is endless, and who helps us understand what's happening in history and in our times as well. So, don't get distracted from reality. Refuse to be brainwashed. At least this week, okay? Refuse to be brainwashed. That's the gospel for today. Contemplation, worshiping together, prayer, meditation, nature, these are all acts of daring because they would connect us with the divine and create community with every one of God's people and creatures, with people of all faiths, all sentient beings, with the earth itself, communion with all life. Don't get distracted. Our friend, Chano Farisani, died 2 days ago, this week. He, Mudzunga, and family are people of profound presence on this planet. Chano was on a par with Bishop Tutu, Nelson Mandela, and he was a close, intimate friend and provocateur with Stephen Biko of the Black Consciousness Movement, started decades ago in South Africa. After imprisonment on 4 occasions and being tortured, he was finally banished into exile. Miraculously, the family was able to come later. They ended up here in the Bay Area, and peace became their spiritual home. He taught at the seminary, part-time as faculty. The bulk of his work was working with the United Nations Human Rights Commission in New York. And I remember so many stories, but especially those gatherings of people who have experienced the worst on this planet, in particular Tiananmen Square. Can you imagine talking to people who survived Tiananmen Square? And others from around the planet. That's a reality check. That's a reality check. So I thought I'd share with you a letter I sent to him for his 75th birthday from all of us. Dear Chano, happy birthday. Happy 75th. My brother, friend, wise guide in the gospel, you are a visionary of mercy, an embodiment of crucified and resurrecting love. You have a courage which I can't imagine. You have faced the abyss and learned to bless. Your passion for people, for the gospel, for intellectual clarity, your willingness to face hard choices and prayerfully commit yourself to God's justice, truth, mercy, wisdom, and all of the unknowns has touched and shaped the life of Peace Church, and we are grateful. You and Mudzunga have been a source of wisdom and inspiration, joy, humor, and delight for more than 30 years. I'm so grateful for this soulful friendship that cannot be severed by time, by distance, and now by death. You have made the grace of God in Christ real. One simple story. Chano was given a small office, like other faculty at the Lutheran Seminary, literally a cubicle closet, room for a desk. He's there one day, and a fellow steps into his office, happened to be white, and there were no bones about it. He was from the security forces in South Africa. And he said to Chano, seated behind the desk, "We know what you're doing. We know what you're saying. We know who you're meeting. And we know where your family lives. So if you don't cease and desist, there will be consequences." And Chano said, "Close that door behind you." And the guy had to scooch up to the desk in order to get the door closed. And Chano says, "What do you see in that door?" And the guy said, "A cross." Chano says, "That's the only guy I pay attention to. Get out." It's time for the meal. It keeps us real. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.